So let me tell you what's happened this week. You can bring up some house lights for me so I can see everybody and look at you face to face. I'll tell you what's happened this week. We're starting a new series today called Orphan Spirit. And I prepared a message. And yesterday, actually all weekend, our staff, we have a group text with all of our staff, the church, and yesterday, this whole weekend, we have this rule that you're not supposed to text in the group text for staff on their days off unless it's like emergency, because we just want everybody to be able to, we just get carried away, let's just put it that way, and we love each other, and all weekend we text each other, all weekend long, and we were just, but it was about what God was speaking to our hearts, and how he's just pouring out his spirit to us, and what he was saying to us, and it was just beautiful stuff, challenging stuff. So we know we're at a crossroads here with our church. We know that God's taking us someplace very unique. How many of you know this is, you're not coming to church here, you're coming to a movement. This is not, and I love that we're not in a traditional church building. You know what I'm saying? When we first moved to McMoran, I really didn't know what all was going to unfold and what God was going to do and why we were coming here. And I wasn't nervous about it, but I didn't really see step by step what was going to happen. And I still don't see all that. I see the big picture. I see the vision God's given me and Kim as the co-leaders of this church. But we don't see every little step. We don't see every little detail, and we don't need to. How many of you know that? You don't. Quit asking God for every little detail. Stop asking him for that. Like, as a good father, he doesn't want to give that to you, because some of those details might scare you. How many of you know that? Trust me, they will. And so I think the beauty of that, this journey, is that he just gives us what we need for the next day. And we know we're at this place where, man, we just don't know what's about to happen. What a beautiful place to be in. You can let it be tormenting. You can let it make you very nervous, or you can let it be beautiful and a gorgeous, wonderful place to be. It's your choice. And there have been times, trust me, that I've let it torment me because I was looking at it from the wrong perspective. Like, God, I need to know the next step. I need to know what's happening after this. I need to know what's about to come. And as a good father, he's just saying, no, you don't. Just trust me with this place you're in right now. Trust me with today. And there will be enough left over to trust me with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. So we were texting each other and going back and forth, and yesterday, all day long, God just kept speaking to me, but it was just different. It was different than he normally speaks to me. Normally, when I hear his voice, it's not an audible voice. It's just him speaking deep inside my spirit. And yesterday, it was almost like he was taking a dropper, you know, like an eyedropper, and it was just like he was drip, 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 all throughout the day. And it wasn't like full sentences. It was just like a word and a word and a word. And by the end of the day, I knew deep in my heart that the message that I prepared all week, I wasn't going to bring it to the pulpit this morning. And then, you know, us being human, you know what I mean? We don't listen the first time. Anybody else like that? So I got up this morning, and as I was leaving the house to come here this morning, I was like, oh, I forgot my iPad, because it had my sermon on it and everything. So I ran in the house and I grabbed my messenger bag with my iPad in it, and I got here and I pulled out my iPad, and my iPad was dead. So me being the brilliant person that I am, I ran around looking for a charger so I could charge my iPad. Because I had to have a backup plan. And so I found a charger and I plugged it in. And then I went to the iPad about an hour later this morning, and I pulled it up, and I had enough probably to get me through a message charge, and I went to pull up the message, and it wasn't there. Don't you even look at me with those eyes like, you are really stupid, man. You are really dumb. You're really dumb. Because you know you've done the same thing. I love sharing transparency about the things that happen in my life because I think it helps all of us. You know what I mean? I'm not... I know this is... I'm going to get out of the camera area and all that, but that's okay. I know that I'm up here elevated on this platform speaking, but I'm not elevated above you. We're one in this. I'm not any greater than you are. Do you understand that? I may know more scripture than some of you, but some of you may know more than me. I may have studied and have a theology degree, but some of you have, you know, more understanding of the Word of God than me. I may be in different spiritual places than you are, but it doesn't make me greater than you. It's just who I am in this journey and this place in my life. It's who God called me to be. But you are a man of God just like I'm a man of God. And He's called your heart to a deep place in Him just like He's called mine. And He wants to connect with you and you and you. You're a woman of God that God's called to a beautiful place. And He wants to do something remarkable in your life. And He sees all the obstacles that the enemy has put in your place. But they can't stop you when you align your heart with His. When you know who you are in Jesus, you're unstoppable. Unstoppable. Because what can stop Jesus? Nothing. And Jesus said, all things are possible to the one who believes in me. And this is what I love. I see the beauty of God in your eyes. It's just, it's there. It's this essence of Him. But there's so much more, sister. There's so much more deep inside. And God just wants to say, I want to move that out of the way and that out of the way and get that out of the way. And that wasn't meant to be there. And let me move this and let me move that. If you'll just let me have all of that, I'm going to create you and mold you into exactly the original design. Because He knit us together in our mother's womb. You know this, right? And the enemy your whole life has tried to derail you, put obstacles in your way. I'm looking at you and I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to everybody else in this place too. You understand that, right? Don't feel singled out, bro. But just let me use you for a moment, okay? But let this be personal for you. The enemy has put so many obstacles. He's tried to derail you your whole life. And there's these lies that He has spoken to you since birth that have built these walls in your life and have kept you from being exactly who God created you to be. And what Jesus wants to do is He wants to bring you back to the very home that He created for you. He wants to remove all the doubt, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the lies that the enemy has placed there. He wants to crush that orphan spirit and show you that you truly are His son. You're unstoppable. I've got a scripture I want to share with you that He did highlight to me this morning. Excuse me, I'm going to sniff in this microphone. Just go with me, all right? That was just for live stream right there. I really don't care. I'll be a fool for you, Jesus. So this is in John chapter 14. He said, Jesus is speaking. And this is before he went to the cross. So he knows what he's about to do, where he's about to go, right? All of this had been prepared since the foundation of the world. All right? But now he's speaking it out of a human mouth. But this is all Spirit of God. And he says, loving me, take this personally. He's saying to you, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. So let me just stop for a second. And I won't stop all the way through. I just want you to hear this. So many of us fall short of obeying his commands. Let me just help you here. I fall short of obeying his commands many times. Anybody else fall short of obeying the commands of Jesus? So what the enemy does is the enemy, when you fall short, Rod, of obeying his commands, the enemy comes in immediately with condemnation. You're not good enough. You were never meant for this place. You don't measure up. You can't do this. It's impossible. Why do you keep trying? Tim, come over here. Why do you keep trying? Sit down with me, bro. He comes to you and he says, why do you keep trying? Why do you keep, you're never going to be able to do this. That's what the enemy's speaking to you. You're never going to be able to do this, man. It's impossible. You keep trying to measure up and you keep trying, but you can't do it. That's what the enemy speaks to you. Okay? And so Jesus immediately, every word he speaks is powerful and full of force and full of impact. And it will change our lives if we'll just listen to what he's really saying to us. So Tim, he's saying to you, loving me, loving Jesus empowers you to obey his commands. There's no other way to do it. If you try in your own effort, you're going to fail.
Yep, you're exactly right.
If you look at other people, you're going to fail. If you measure yourself by other people, you're going to fail. Well, at least I'm better than that person. At least I obey more commands than he does. Or if you measure yourself by where you used to be, you're going to fail. Well, at least I'm not where I used to be. At least I'm better than I used to be. And what happens is the enemy, he's good. The enemy's good with just saying, okay, Lisa, just stay right there then. You're good. See, you're better than what you used to be. Just stay there then. Just coast along where you are right now. If he can't get you to go back, he at least wants to get you to stop. Because stagnant things die. Healthy things grow and move. That's why God said, I'm always doing something new. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? It springs up every day. So Tim, that's what he's speaking to you this morning. Why are things not changing in your life?
I'm not changing myself.
Come on, bro. He said, because I'm not changing. Just love Jesus. You know, Tim, I hear this all the time. Can we just go here, guys? You okay with this? Everybody good with this? Yeah. Because I think it's going to help you today. I hear this all the time. I'm done with that addiction. I threw that away. You know, that's wonderful. Okay, that's a great step. But this is the step he's talking about. Just love him. Okay? Because even though you threw those smokes away, you can't sustain it without loving him. It's impossible without him. You know? Just fall in love with him. He's already in love with you. So he makes it easy. He doesn't make you earn his love. He doesn't make you chase after him. He doesn't make you, you know, a clamor for him. He doesn't do any of that. You don't have to woo him. He's already wooed you. So just fall in love with him. I like what Carol said last week when she gave her testimony. She said, I've been reading this word for 2 years now. That's his love letter to you, isn't it, Carol? And you can't help but fall in love with him when you read his love letter to you. You can't help it. Thank you, brother. That's it.
That's another thing I sooner I realized too. Sooner I watched it, sooner I've seen all the videos of Trent Shelton. He's always sitting there talking about positive stuff, and he's always sitting there saying it starts with you. Every time, it always starts with that person. That's it.
That's
nobody
it.
Else.
That's it. Oh, come on.
You.
Okay, you're testifying now, bro. It starts with you.
Yeah.
It's not about anybody else. So sit here and listen to the rest of this. He says, and loving me empowers you to obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside of you. I don't know what version you got up, but I'm the Passion Translation. If you don't have the Passion, take that right down. I want you to hear these words. This is exactly what he highlighted to me this morning. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside of you. Now listen to what Jesus said. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandoned as orphans. I will come back to you. It's important for you to see that he's not saying, I'm going to leave, I'm going to die and be resurrected and then go to the Father and then I will come back to you later on. No, he's saying, I'm with you the whole time. I'm never going to leave you. Now, I may go to the Father, but I'm still going to be in you. So I won't leave you as helpless and abandoned as orphans. So here's my question to you. If he promises us that he will not leave us helpless and abandoned as orphans, why do we walk around with an orphan spirit? Why do we walk around like we have no father? Why do we carry ourselves like the king of the universe is not living inside of us? You say, well, I don't do that. Really? So how much do you need that person beside you? How much do you rely on that person beside you? How much are you connected to them that if they were gone, you wouldn't be complete? Kim and I have said this for a few years now. We love each other, but we don't need each other. I'm thankful for her. She's amazing. I would be sad if she were gone. But my life does not rest upon her. I am complete without her. But until I figured that out, I was walking around an orphan because I was looking for her to complete me. I was looking for her to fulfill me. I was looking for her to satisfy something that could not be satisfied by her. Husbands and wives, if you're in this place today, you're with your spouse, love them and cherish them and treat them with honor and respect and continue to pursue them with all of your heart. But they don't complete you. Jesus completes you.
Exactly.
And until you let him complete you, you will continue to put pressure on them to fulfill a void in your heart and life that only Jesus can fulfill. And if it's not a husband or wife you're doing this you're doing it in a relationship around you. Mothers and fathers, you're doing it to your children. Children, you're doing it to your parents. And you're doing it to your bosses at work. And you're doing it to your coworkers. And you're doing it to your peers around you or your friends. Why are we so wounded when a relationship is broken? If our relationship with him is not broken, why would we be wounded when a human relationship is? Why would we be broken when it is? I'm not wounded, but broken. I get being wounded. I get being hurt when a relationship in the human realm is broken, but you should not break. Is this making sense to you? Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I will live again and you will come alive too. So when the day comes, when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me. For I will be living in you. And those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life in you. Thank you, Tim. So here's my question to us today. If he is one in the Father and we are one in him, if we are all completely connected in this thing with Jesus, then there should be no shadow of an orphan spirit in our inside of us. We should not be walking around with any of that. And if we are walking around with it, if we do notice it, if we see it in our lives, we should not be okay with it. We should not allow it to rest there or stay there. We should crush it. He's our good Father. Kim, come here. So this is my beautiful gift from God. And she is beautiful. She's not just beautiful, she's hot. Come on now. All the ladies say, yep. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. She hates it when I do that. So that's why I do it. I don't know if you grab a microphone. This will do. So what changed in our lives when you discovered that you didn't need me? By the way, when you first said that, it hurt me really bad. You cut me deep.
I know. I think before I realized that, and I really did not have a clue that I was living like an orphan. And really, if you're not sure what an orphan spirit is, just think about what an orphan is. You know, in our society, in our culture, an orphan is someone who doesn't have a parent and doesn't have a home. They have no place to rest. They have no place to stay. They have no place where they are completely and totally accepted and wanted and loved. And so spiritually that translates that even as believers, when we don't know that the Father is our home and that we are completely and totally loved and accepted and wanted by him, when we don't know that, we continue to act as if we're completely disconnected and we're homeless and we're not loved. But we want those things, and so usually we'll try to get those from a human relationship. And so what that looked like for me is I was trying to make Bill my home, and I was trying to get him to do all of the things that needed to be done in order for me to feel complete, accepted, loved, wanted, validated, valued. And it put a tremendous strain on him to fill this cavernous void inside that only God can fill. I mean, if you think, let's just use this room as an example. If this is the void inside that must be filled, Bill is smaller than the top of a pen. And to draw from him and draw from him and draw from him to continually get him to tell me that I'm okay and I'm good enough and I'm worthy and I'm wanted and I'm loved. And yes, he loved me and yes, he wanted me and yes, he thought I was worthy, but his word was so small and compared to the need that was so great. And so that put a tremendous amount of pressure on him to do something that he could never do. And when I discovered that the only person, the only one who could ever fill that void inside of me was Jesus. And I knew that in my head, but I did not know that in my heart. And I had not applied that, and I wasn't living that out. It changed everything. I stopped looking at him as someone who wasn't doing enough for me, someone who wasn't measuring up and meeting my needs, to someone who was like the cherry on top. It's like, oh, you're a bonus. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am.
You're a bonus. You're the overflow. You're the surplus. Because I was hearing God say to me, I love you.
Amen.
You know, when you just lean back and you get still and you let God whisper things into your heart, and you let those words melt down the barriers and the walls that we have created to protect ourselves, and he begins to fill those places with himself, then I know that I'm loved, and it doesn't matter if you love me. I mean, I would like for you to love me, but if you don't, that's okay. See, I'm not needy anymore. I don't need anything from you. I don't need anything from my kids. I don't need anything from Bill. I don't need anything from my parents or my brother or anybody else. I don't need anything because Jesus tells me that he loves me, and I believe that. I believe it in the depths of my soul, and those words fill me up. The reality of that sustains me. I know that Father God is my home. I'm not looking to fit in somewhere. I'm not looking for belonging. I'm not looking for you to accept me, because I'm at home in the Father's heart. And every single day, I let him tell me things. I let him sing over me. And I let him whisper truths into my heart. And I let him validate me. I let him tell me, yes, you are enough. I let him tell me that you are worthy. That's why I came. You are worth it. You were worth it. And so that's why I came. And those words are enough for me, so that when Bill says, hey, you're beautiful, I'm like, thanks. But I'm not saying, well, I don't really think that I'm beautiful. I just feel really so ugly. I don't know. You just think that only because you're my husband. You have to say that because we're married.
Which is what she used to say.
He would tell me that I'm beautiful, and I would say, yeah, 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 we're married. You're supposed to say those things.
Your bias.
Your bias, your prejudice. And so because I've gotten my acceptance in the Father and I've made my home in him, then when Bill says those things to me, I can take them for what they're worth and appreciate them and believe that they're true. Because Jesus told me that first. He's just repeating what Jesus said.
I need a couple people. Melissa. Yes, that Melissa. Anna. Can you come up here? Come on, sweetheart. Come here, Owen. Carla, you come. She's like, oh God, help me. Come here, come over here. I don't want to single anybody out, but I feel really strongly about this. Y'all, we should be raising our kids this way. Like, we need to teach our children about this. Anna, I saw you this morning sitting over here and then over here, and I just felt the Lord really strongly upon you, and I felt him speaking to you this morning that he's all you need. Like, do you all know the pressure upon our children to fit in, to find acceptance, to find a group, that will accept them, that will love them. What often happens, Melissa, you know this, you've raised kids, what often happens is you get caught up in this trap of trying to fit in, trying to find a place, trying to find someone that's going to accept you, and you'll do whatever it takes, whatever pressure is put upon you. But God created you to fall in love with Him. And when you fall in love with Him, like the scripture I was reading, if you just fall in love with Him, you find out He's all you need. The moment that we did this, that this happened in our lives, it kind of happened at the same time with both of us. I was a very confident person growing up. That doesn't mean I didn't fall into the same traps of trying to fit in. I did. Because it doesn't matter how confident you are humanly, you still fall into those traps. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so I fell into those same traps, even though I was confident. But once I fell in love with Jesus to this extent, there was a new level of confidence that rose up inside of me. It was different. It was different from human confidence. It was a godly confidence. And it was beautiful because, like Kim was saying this morning, I don't need you. Isn't it interesting? I don't know how many of you felt that when she said that to you. I don't need you. But some people feel deep inside, well, that hurts that you don't need me. And think about that, Rod saying that to Lisa. I don't need you. I think it's probably how you say it, but I mean, I don't need you. You know, probably shouldn't say it that way, but it's the way, you know, but it's the point is this: why does it hurt us when people tell us they don't need us? Well, maybe it's because we're operating in an orphan spirit and we need to be needed. If you need to be needed, then you're not operating in the right spirit. You have an orphan spirit. And so at that point in my life, Carla, Owen, Anna, at that point in my life, I started having a new confidence. And this new confidence, I started to realize this new confidence caused issues with people that I knew. I'd walk to people, you know, or walk up to people or be part of groups, and people would think I was arrogant. And I actually had people tell me later on when they decided that I wasn't and they decided to be my friend. They said, man, when I first met you, I thought you were arrogant. I said, really? They said, yeah. But I realized it wasn't arrogance, it was just confidence. And so we can, when that happens, and people, you know, people want us to change. Because if we're not needy, then we look arrogant. Come on. Y'all, this world is built around this. It's built around people being needy. And that's not where God desires for us to live or intends for us to live. We don't need to be needy. You don't need anybody but Jesus, Owen. It's all you need. It's all you need. There's a difference between needing people and wanting people. So I don't need her, but I want her. And if you can reconcile that in your heart, Anna, that you don't need anybody but Jesus, then when the person that God has designed for you comes along, you can just want Him. Okay? And I hope this doesn't embarrass you, but you'll want Him in the right way, in the godly way, which will be beautiful, okay? Same for you, Owen, Carla, and everybody else out there. I'm assuming you're single, right? You're not married yet?
I'm married.
You're married? Oh, sorry, then sit down. Just kidding. So I want you to know this. Our young people need to know this. If we could just crush the orphan spirit, if they could just be confident in being His, and we wouldn't have the issues we have in our society today. It's the truth. And every single adult in this place knows it because you've been down that road. So So I'm asking the Father to do that in our church, in our kids, in our people.
Can I say this real quick?
No, please. You guys can go ahead and have a seat.
Because I think this applies. I mean, we generally will use this when we're talking about students. But really, this applies to us as adults. I think one of the greatest evidences of an orphan spirit in your life is premarital, extramarital sex.
Oh, come on.
Because we're looking to find that connection, that place of feeling really wanted and loved. And
careful.
I know. That's why I'm looking at you. Sex is not a physical act. Sex is a supernatural act.
Come on. That's right. Come on.
It goes way past the physical. And that's why there's an attempt to use that to feel completed, to feel wanted and feel loved. And that is one of the biggest telltale signs that you're operating in an orphan spirit, is you're looking for the sex act to make you feel like you're enough, or you're beautiful, or you're wanted, or you're loved. And I think that's why students fall into that trap. Particularly young girls, if they did not have a strong relationship with their daddy, they're looking for that type of acceptance. And we carry that with us into our adulthood. And that's why we think it's okay to sleep with someone that we're not married to, because that feels like what we need. That is not what we need. We need to connect with the love and the heart of the Father so that we know that we are loved and accepted by Him. And it's so deep, and it permeates all the way down to the foundations of who we are, that is no longer even on the table. I don't need that for anything.
Come on.
And then it can become what God created it to be. So I think that's a huge issue that maybe you might want to look at in your own life. And maybe you're not operating that way, but you used to operate that way. And maybe you got married, and so you're monogamous. And so you're thinking, well, I don't deal with that. Maybe it's manifested in a different way now. And you might, if you didn't address it, you just switched coping mechanisms.
I think that's a perfect segue into our closing today. Because, see, we have accepted the invitation of our King to become His bride. Right? We have accepted His invitation for salvation. We said it. We accept your invitation to step into this marriage. And we have become the bride of Christ by accepting that invitation. And He paid for that marriage with His own blood and His own body. How many of you got a cup when you came in this morning, a communion cup? If you didn't get one, I want you to hold your hand up real high and keep it up until they come down the aisle with cups for you. If you did not get one, raise your hand and keep it up until they hand you a cup. They're coming down the aisles right now. Keep your hand up until they get to you. And while you're waiting for your cup, the rest of you who received one, you can begin to prepare it by opening the top layer and taking the wafer out, and then opening the next layer to get ready for the cup. As you're doing that, let me tell you about this. See, we're going to receive communion together today. And the original first communion was with Jesus and His disciples in the upper room. And He said, this is my body which was broken for you, and this is my blood which has been poured out for you. And listen, He was telling them this before it even happened. He was telling them, this is about to happen. I'm about to break, have my body broken for you and my blood poured out so that I can purchase your freedom. So that we can be together as one. So that we can be married. Think about this. How many of us, and I don't want you to take this in condemnation. Take it with the conviction of Holy Spirit. because this is what he wants you to hear. How many of you have accepted the invitation to be his bride, but you're adultering yourself? You're committing adultery by living with a needy orphan spirit. And you may have never seen it that way before, or thought of it that way, but that's what we're doing. If we're saying this wasn't enough, then what is enough? What will it take? He purchased your freedom. He purchased the marriage certificate with his own blood and with his own body. And then he gave you a free invitation, and it doesn't cost you anything. All you had to do was say, I accept your proposal. I mean, have you ever seen a proposal like this? I know you've seen a lot of them posted on Facebook, and there's some pretty cool ones out there. But there's never been one like this, made for the entire world, where his body was broken just for you. Would you take his body this morning? Thank you, Jesus, for this part of your proposal. Can you say this with me? Say, Jesus, I receive your body in place of mine. I am healed. I am whole. I am complete. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then every drop of blood was poured out for you and for me. Said when they pierced his side, blood and water flowed. It was prophetic. It was purposeful. It was needed. And he completed the proposal. He said, this blood will wash away every sin. It will complete you. You'll be needing of nothing from this day forward. This is all you need. Would you take the blood? Thank you, Jesus, that I am free because of your blood. Thank you, Jesus, that you crushed the orphan spirit inside of me. No longer in need, for I have all I need in you. You complete me. Can you tell him that this morning? Jesus, you complete me. And I will passionately love you and pursue you with all of my heart all the days of my life. And I will dance before you and shout your praises. For you are my king. You are my husband. You are my groom. You complete me, Jesus.